The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
But if you can just look at God and not dwell on the problems, He's going to bring you through it. He's going to be the God of all for us.
Coming up on Life Today, Duck Dynasty's Kay and Lisa Robertson empower their sisters in faith to discover their true voice.
We don't enjoy telling people all the bad things that have happened. But we enjoy telling people about the redemption that happened.
Yeah.
Hi, welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh, here with my cohort, Randy Robinson. And I'm excited that you're going to watch today's program because we have one of my favorite people on the planet. Do you remember the very first time you saw Duck Dynasty? Well, if you're like my husband, my son and I, we were absolutely hooked. And today we have Miss Kay and Lisa Robertson. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thanks. We're glad to be here.
It's great to have you. Of course, Lisa, you've been here before, Miss Kay. Great to have you.
Oh, and we're I love it here.
I'm going to do a lot of listening today because we're talking a lot about your book called Sister Roar. And as the one brother on the set, I'm curious to find out what you guys are trying to communicate in this. What is it? What are the big ideas in this book?
Take it,
well,
Lisa.
You know, throughout our life, we go through different things, and a lot of times those things are our fault, maybe somebody else's fault, but Satan uses those things against us, and he takes away our voice. And so whenever we were thinking through the pandemic, even this, everybody is so afraid, and with good reason. I mean, there was people, you know, just dying all around us, and so people just got afraid, and they quit meeting. And they quit doing their small groups. They quit confessing sins one to another.
Yeah.
They quit encouraging one another because everybody was so afraid.
Yeah.
And so we thought we need to do something so that women can get back together.
Wow.
And Kay, let's write something about a community. What we both do it. We both do it in different ways, but that's what we do. We get with women and we study God's word. We encourage one another and we help them to find that voice, but also to roar, you know? Because whenever you are passionate about something, it's not just a voice, it's a roar.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because the show Duck Dynasty, isn't that the number one reality TV show of all time?
And you know, the number one show on the Duck Dynasty was when Phil and I got married, you know, again. It was fun.
But I wonder what it was like to go from living your family life and then suddenly you're known all over the world. How did you cope with that at first?
Well, I'm an outward person. I love my fans. And I call them my new friends. So I did well with that because I do talk so much and I do hug people and I do love people so much and I'm real outward about it. Now, my husband, not so much, not at all. I just have to be honest with you.
Being on television and writing in the books like you do so openly and honestly, you expose yourself, all your whole family really, to a lot of, I don't know if dirt's the right word, you know? I mean, it's difficult stuff.
Vulnerable.
Yeah, very vulnerable, yeah.
I mean, we've heard things like hillbillies, you know, just all kind of different names that they, of our enemy. We just laugh about it because, you know, it is what it is. But for it to, for America, you saw, because when the time that, you know, they fired Phil, that was a big controversy. And, you know, for 9 days he stayed off. And do you know what happened with the network that was carrying that? Their phones were shut down for 3 days because so many American, Christian Americans called and they couldn't use their phones. Mm. And nobody knows this. Nobody knows this, but we had, when they hired him back, we had the board of directors for that whole network, not the president, but the board of directors came, and we had a meeting at Willie's, and they all apologized to Phil for letting him go. And, you know, what he, to because he stood on something that they didn't stand on, but it was our show. So we were being ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so, you know what? It was just amazing. So Phil said, I'm so glad y'all did this. Not because I need to apologize. I could go on without that if you just change your ways. But now I'm so glad we're together, because let me get up and tell y'all a story. He gets up with his Bible and preaches to every person there.
I believe that.
Wow. Yeah. You know, Lisa, one of the things I was thinking when I was reading your parts of the story is how much your story is going to help other women, because you're pretty open about the fact that, you know, a couple times took a bit of a left turn. And so often the enemy uses that, as you say, to silence our voices.
Right.
But God is a redeemer. Was that hard for you to include parts of your story like that?
Well, it was to begin with. But the more that people kept telling me, thank you so much for telling your story, or somebody saying, this is me. I did the same. Your story mirrors my story. I cannot believe we're so much alike. And so once you hear that, then you're thinking, well, I have to encourage these people. I have to tell them what God has done in my life. Mm-hmm. And I had somebody tell me one time, they were like, I don't know how you tell all of these things, Lisa, because, like, people are not going to respect me if I tell that stuff. And I'm like, look, I don't care what people think. Mm-hmm. I'm only concerned with one job. God redeemed me, and He wants me to tell my story.
Right.
So that other people can be redeemed. The rest of it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that people may go, oh, I don't know if I want to hang out with her. That doesn't matter. Hey, I'm going to heaven. I'm hanging out with the Lord. So, you know, so I just continue to tell and tell it, you know, and Alan, I always say, look, we don't enjoy telling people all the bad things that have happened. But we enjoy telling people about the redemption that happened and about life change and the people that we are now compared to the people we were then.
I discovered when I began sharing about my mental health struggles that our brokenness is a far greater bridge to other people than pretend wholeness ever is.
Yeah.
But I found myself wondering, Miss Kay, how did you cope during the pandemic? Because you are such a social person. You're such a people person.
This
and
is
suddenly
the funniest
everything
thing.
Is shut
I'm gonna
down.
I'm going to tell you right now. I couldn't stay home, of course. I wasn't trying to break all the rules. So the girl that was working for me at the time, I said, we are going to discover a part of America. So we would load up in the car, and we went and we looked and we looked, and we could wave at people and stuff. We didn't try to stop her talking, all that. We found a covered up mansion in a little town called Farmerville. We went and we found other things and we saw, and we just, and we spent that whole time just discovering America. And people would see and recognize me, like at the Sonic or somewhere we went by, and I would wave, but then roll my window up like, no talk, just wave. And they were taking pictures of me through the window, but it was okay. And it was kind of like Lisa talked about, it's just going back and looking all the things that God has made and done for us and things we'd never seen, and we did that. And so it wasn't like I was just banded to the house.
Yeah.
And by getting out, it was a joy. And the girl I was with was one that that is in my groups, you know. And so when I would feel like it, and she would talk and say things that were wrong and, you know, feeling, you know, bad because a lot of her life is sad. Mm. And I would say, well, I'm so glad you mentioned that. And so then I would go into talking to everything that would make her realize that negativity is not the way to go. And we all have problems because of the devil and the first sin and all that. But if you can just look at God and not dwell on the problems, He's going to bring you through it.
Yeah.
He's going to be the God of all for us. And so we had sharing time mm-hmm. with me as I shared through things I did wrong. And, you know, I was pregnant at 16. And, of course, you know, there was the Manfield, that thing, which we hid at first and then said we got married later, which I guess I thought of that because that might have sounded like something off a TV show that might be good. So, and you see, of course, but what he showed us was whatever you lie about, it's going to come out.
Yeah.
So, you know, it came out. And then I knew once that did, all that shame thing that I felt, it was just gone. Like Lisa said, you just feel so clean because you just got it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, back in my years, which I'm over 70, so there was a different background. And back then, everybody would hide,
yeah.
hide the secrets,
oh, yeah.
hide them. And so then all of a sudden, when I went on there and just let her flow, it was a big audience. And I thought at first, I thought, I'm not going to be able to talk because I hadn't done that. And then you know what the lady told me? Because I stood there at first, I wanted water, and I was thinking, now I got to get to talking here. And the lady come up and whispered in my ear from the church, and she said, Miss Kay, only talk about what God's done in your life. That's all we want you to do. Can you do it? I said, of course I can do that. So then I was off and running and shared, went over time. They had to, you know, the funniest thing about me is I wasn't used to speaking. So when they started playing the organ in the background, I was like, why is he doing that? Which I didn't know that meant time to go, Miss Kay. End it up. And I was like, and look, somebody is adding beautiful music to my talk.
They must want me to talk more.
See, that's how naive I was about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it was, and then after then, there was no stopping us as far as going and sharing
yeah.
whatever.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, you know, the whole Duck Dynasty thing is an illustration of a community, a family, mm-hmm. and a community. As you're writing and talking about the power that's in a community, encouraging people to get into it, what are some of the things that people may be missing if they don't make the effort to be a part of a godly community?
Well, I think first and foremost is relationships with other women. Mm-hmm. A closer relationship with God is another. Mm-hmm. We have a group that we do at home in our church, and we're older women teaching younger women.
I love that.
Yeah. Well, so we get to learn from older people how to raise our children,
yeah.
how to be a godly wife, mm-hmm. how to be an encourager, mm-hmm. sometimes how to cook. I mean, Kay taught me to cook whenever I married Alan. I didn't know how.
I have five of her cookbooks in my kitchen.
Yeah. So,
and all my other daughter-in-laws, they loved me teaching them. They were not upset. They were just like, well, you know, our husbands, my sons, wanted more of their mama's cooking.
Yeah.
And yet they were so good to not be mad and say, no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But encouragement, you know, yeah. you get encouragement whenever you're together. And people to carry your burdens with you also. That's one of the things that you really miss whenever yeah. you're not in a group of women together, is that idea of sharing your burdens and sharing your joys, sharing your struggles, you know, yeah. And your victories.
Absolutely.
Which is so fun to do. Mm-hmm.
So often when people see someone on television, like they see you sitting here and looking so beautiful, they think life has always been easy. Take us back a little bit to what your beginnings were like.
Well, whenever my earliest memory, I can't remember anything before the age of 7. My earliest memory is being molested by a member of our family. And so that started at 7. It lasted until I was 14. Mm-hmm. And so at 15 is whenever I met Alan, and I had actually seen him whenever I was in the sixth grade, but he never noticed who I was, you know, because I had big glasses and, you know, buck teeth, and so he didn't know who I was, you know. But so, you know, at 14, I was big enough to put a stop to it, but I never told anybody.
Wow.
Because he told me that I would be in trouble if I ever told. So the intimidation started early. The dishonesty started early. I never could tell anybody about my life or who I was or what was really happening to me. And so then at 15, I start dating Alan. And, you know, the third or fourth date, it's a if you love me, you will kind of thing. And I thought I loved him. And so I gave myself to him. And so he left me for 2 years. And during that 2 years, I just took a tailspin. I mean, I just went completely out of control. And so I dated many guys. I did drugs. I drank, had sex, you know, with as many as I could. I was trying to find something that was missing. There was a hole, and I couldn't figure out what it was. At the time, I thought it was Alan. But, you know, now I know that hole was actually where God should have been.
Yeah.
But so at 16, I found out that I was pregnant. And so I went and talked with my parents, and my parents said, well, you just need to have an abortion. Mm. And I was like, what is that? I never heard the word before. And so they said, well, they just go and take the tissue out. And my mom said, it's just tissue. There's not a baby yet. It's just tissue in there. Mm-hmm. So I said, oh, okay. And so I went and had it done. But I knew something wasn't right in my soul, in my heart, in my whole body, because the whole day I shook, you know, just shook. And so I had that done, but I was never the same.
Yeah.
You know, once you do that, then it just takes something out of you, you know. I was told three lies that day. The first one was, after you leave here, you'll be as good as new. Mm. All we're doing is taking out tissue. There's no baby in there, you know. And then the third one was, Lisa, you can leave here today and not ever think about this again.
Wow.
And that's been 40 years. Mm. And I have thought about it probably every day of my life since. Mm. The lucky thing is for me is that I found Christ. Mm-hmm. And so He took the shame.
Right.
He took the guilt. Mm-hmm. And He redeemed me. I no longer feel that.
Yeah.
But I do have regret. I'll always have regret because that was a life.
But you'll get to meet that little one again someday.
That's right. So, you know, that's just, that's part of it. But that's the hard part of living your life and then looking backwards.
Yeah.
I was just talking to my granddaughter the other day. I said, you don't want to do things that whenever you're my age, you look back and go, oh man, I wish I hadn't have done that.
Yeah.
Let me ask one final question, because whether you're talking about the abuse you suffered at the hands of another or the things that you've done that you regret, you know, in the church, you're going to hear this word forgiveness.
Right.
And it's important. It's in the Bible. It's a big deal.
Important.
Jesus talks about it. How does that look like? What does it look like for you?
Well, and you know, I read the verse that says, in order for the Lord to forgive us, we must forgive others.
Hmm. Yes.
And so I had a great counselor, and she took me through that verse. And
Godly counselor.
That's right. Mm. And she said, Lisa, this is not about you forgiving your uncle and then him, you know, having control over you. She said, once you forgive, the control is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, and it's not really about you and him anyway. It's about you and God.
Yeah.
And so she was absolutely correct, you know? And so I think forgiveness is one of those things that every day you wake up and decide, I'm going to continue to forgive, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's that important. And, you know, during the night, the evil one will speak lies to you. And you wake up the next day and you have to choose to forgive, you know, each and every day. Mm-hmm.
As you can tell, there is a lifetime of wisdom in this book. One of the things I love is the enemy is not omniscient. He doesn't know what we're going to believe. He'll throw a lie at us, but we can counter it with the truth of the Word of God. Mm-hmm. We want you to get hold of a copy of Sister Roar. But first of all, Randy and I would like to ask you to watch something. We are very committed to some sisters in the other side of the world at the moment, and their roar is actually a roar of pain. And you and I can listen and be an answer to their prayers. Would you watch this?
These mothers are working hard. Struggling each day, they try to grow food for their families with little success. Not from lack of work, not because they don't love their children, but because they just don't have adequate resources. Ongoing drought in Angola and record-breaking floods in South Sudan have made it almost impossible to grow the food their families need. In South Sudan, mothers are forced to rely on feeding their children leaves from trees. Angolan mothers will forage for pods from the baobab trees. At best, the children can relieve their aching stomachs when they eat from the pods, but they receive little or no nutritional value. Unfortunately, as hard as these mothers struggle to keep their children alive, a small grave is where the story ends too many times.
In January, this mother had to attend a third funeral for her children. And I asked her, on any given day, what's your number one concern? And it's one thing, getting food for these children. That's all she thinks about. Every single day, morning, noon, and night, all she thinks about is, where can I get something to feed these children today? And she said many times, she has to put these two to bed hungry. And she tries to encourage them. And you know what she says to them? Who knows what tomorrow will bring? She's trying to keep hope alive. And mission feeding saves lives. We've done it before, but the need has never been greater. We need your help today. We need your help now.
You know, right at the moment, Angola is suffering the worst drought they have in 40 years. But I want you to imagine you're coming with me. You know, I show up at DFW Dallas Airport. I buy a bottle of water and a sandwich and I throw it in my backpack. And I get in the plane and in a few hours, I step into her world. You know, and I walk with her for a long, long distance to try and see, is there any food available? Their village is miles away from anything. I mean, you actually get to see what Abraham saw. The stars are so brilliant, but the need is desperate. And I get down on my hands and knees with her and scrape in the mud to see if there's anything that she can give these precious children. And let me tell you, they love their children every bit as much as I love my son. Can you imagine as a mom putting your children to rest with an aching stomach? But these moms are doing it every single day. And they're hardworking women. Some of them get up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning because they want to be the first out in these arid fields where it hasn't rained in a long, long time to see if they can find anything. And here's the thing. She tells her children, who knows what tomorrow might bring. See, what I've discovered in these places is a lot of these women, they are godly women. They believe that there is a God who answers prayer. And they ask every night, God, will you send help? And Randy, we want to be the answer to that prayer.
We are the answer to that. Anyway, it's fascinating you mentioned that because you drive for hours and hours through the middle of nowhere in some of these places to get to a village, and oftentimes you see a church,
yeah,
a beautiful little church. It may be the nicest building in the little mm-hmm. village, and you go, well, what's that about? And you go, well, they look to God like we do. There's this crisis situation, and we need to kind of establish this food train, if you will. And we've got it. We've been doing this for decades now in Southern Africa, in different places. We've got it in place. We just need some people to step up and say, I want to be a part of that. Because when you do, you don't just share the love of Christ in word, as we often do with the missionaries, but you share it in action. You say, hey, I don't know you, you know, but you're my neighbor, and I'm here to bring you something that you need. How do we do it? It's very simple. Your gift today of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed 3, 5, or 10 children for the next 3 months. It's that simple, because we have everything in place to bring the food in, to mix it in the bowl, to deliver it where it's most needed. We just need some people to step up. And when you've done it in the past, we've seen amazing, amazing things. We're asking you to do it again. If you can make that gift of $1,000 to feed 100 children, what a blessing, what an honor that is. Whatever you can do, let's step up. Let's be a part of the solution. Go to the phone. Go online now, make the best gift you can, and know that you are helping to save a life.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you The Chosen 40 Days with Jesus. From the creators of the widely popular television drama, The Chosen, this devotional invites you to discover Jesus through the eyes of those who knew him best. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Amazing Grace Sheet Music Frame Wall Art. This timeless and well-beloved hymn can be displayed as a reminder of God's grace to you. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Let the Children Come. This beautiful bronze is a reminder to care for children around the world in both word and deed. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Thank you for helping. It makes a world of difference. And for any gift at all, please request a copy of Sister Roar. Claim your authentic voice, embrace real freedom, and discover true sisterhood. Miss Kay, Lisa, thank you so much for being with us. It was just a joy.
I could have talked to you all day, and you.
She really can talk all day.
And I consider it an honor that you ask us. Thank you so much.
You. Absolutely. And we consider it an honor that you joined us today. And we'd love to have you again every day here on Life Today. We'll see you again next time.
Bye.
Are you concerned about your family being ill-equipped to manage resources when you pass away? Do you want to leave a legacy gift that impacts the lives of others? As a free service to our friends and partners, Life Planning Services, a ministry of Life Outreach International, is here to help with your estate planning needs and chart your financial future. Do not put off this important step to protect your loved ones and leave a lasting legacy. Contact Life Planning Services today. Stay connected with Life Today through your favorite social media sites or visit lifetoday.org, where life is always on. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.